Okay, so Colossians chapter 3, it's verses 1 to 11. It won't be on the overhead, so don't look up there. Well, it probably could be on the overheads if... Where's Nathaniel gone? Go on, okay. Doesn't matter. Anyway, all good. Let's read. Colossians 3, 1 to 11. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On the account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these things you once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, and the actual word there is skuthus, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. It's a really unusual way when you actually hear it in the Greek. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words. Let us be encouraged, challenged, convicted, convicted in a way that we set our minds on you, that by doing that, we transform people, being renewed by you continually. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus, and pray the Holy Spirit will help us do this morning. Amen. Okay, so the series has been our identity in Jesus, and what we looked at last week was our connection to Jesus, that his death and resurrection has given us a complete new identity. And through that, we are now new people made alive in Jesus. And this new life in Jesus is simply this: your old life of self has died in Jesus on the cross, and now you've been raised to new life in Jesus, and you're united in his resurrection. Therefore, everything about our life now, if you're in Jesus, is being in him. You have been given a complete new identity. And now we are these new people, hidden in Jesus, transferred into his kingdom. What does that life look like? What does the life of his kingdom look like in us? As we are people focused on Jesus, and we are, in a sense, seated with Jesus in heaven, yet right now we're situated on earth. So in future glory we're there, but right now we're situated on earth. So what does that life look like? So from the passage today, I want to look at three things. Firstly, it's seeking and setting our minds on Jesus. Secondly, it's a life being renewed in Jesus. It's a life that is actually overcoming sin. And that within this, it's a very brief point at the end, that we are a new community of people through this, that Jesus is Lord, in all and above all in that community. So just to recap last week a little bit, we saw that we depend on Jesus' work, well, probably the previous passages, we depend on Jesus' work, not religion as our offer for hope, not human-made rules that can't overcome the flesh, but only Jesus. His death and resurrection is the only thing that can actually have power to transform us. So now our old lives have been nailed to the cross in Jesus, and so we're made alive, as I've said, through him. We are his people. We are in him. I use the example of a plane. You need to be on the plane to get to the destination. So knowing about the plane, having great experiences about the plane, doesn't really help if you're not on the plane. And so we need to be in Jesus on the plane. So where Jesus is, we will be. So there's a connection there. And so that's where we set. That's a sort of recap of where we've been at so far. But now we are up to what it looks like, what this life looks like as we follow Jesus and live for him. So who do we set our minds on? We set our minds on Jesus. We set our mind above, because this is where we really are. So as we think about what Jesus has done, we realize we're forgiven fully, our trespass has been dealt with. These are all the things that we've done that have gone against God's holiness. They've all been dealt with. And so I think this is a massive thing we've got to understand. When we look at Jesus, we see our life is dealt with, both past, present, and future sin. We have been raised with Jesus out of God's love and grace, forgiven people. So therefore, we set our minds on Jesus because our new life is now hidden in Jesus. Verse 3. We no longer set our minds on things on earth. We no longer live for the things on earth. We seek things that are above. We know Jesus more and more. As that song says, more of him, less of me. That's the Christian life. But it's actually more than that in a sense, because it's what we invest our lives in. It's what we put our minds to, what we seek and love. I think this is what Paul is addressing here to the Colossians. Is it Jesus that we really do seek, or do we really live for our old selves? Do we seek what our flesh wants? Our hearts and minds, our thinking, you know, are they focused on Jesus, being informed by Jesus, with Jesus reigning, or are we thinking about other things and letting that reign in our bodies and in our minds? What's your mind set on? And that's what the key of this passage is. What's your mind set on? Are you still simply your old self with a good religious act that actually can't stop you from sinning, or actually are you really seriously focused on Jesus now that you belong to him? So it's getting the right mindset. That's our first point, getting Jesus in the right place. And notice this passage, these probably first three or four verses, that's actually focused on a person. Our minds are focused on Jesus. Our mind's set on Jesus, not a religion or a tradition or human ideas, but Jesus. So we seek Jesus daily. We set our minds on Jesus daily. We seek to know him through his word. We seek to pray to him because our lives are set on Jesus. But this new life is one of transformational. It's a transformational life. We are sinners, as we looked in chapter 1, transferred into Jesus. And now in chapter 3, it talks about us being renewed through Jesus. That's our second point I want to look at. It's our new identity is a renewal in Jesus. Our life is growing in Jesus. We're overcoming sin. We're putting on Jesus, which we're going to look at next week. But for now, we're going to look at the overcoming the sin. Remember that you have died to sin, and your now life is hidden in Jesus, and your old self is dead. So therefore, we don't go back to these old ways. And yet the truth is, we tend to. We tend to do that. So what Paul says, rather than feed our old ways, we need to kill them. And so I want to read verses 5 to 10. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these things you once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. These verses are very interesting because they deal with sin. And verse 5, these verses deal with our sin in relationships, but verse 5 is dealing with our sin that's directed towards God. Now, all sin is ultimately towards God, but this is particularly against God. This is the ultimate sin of idolatry. It's where we replace God with something less than him, and we desire and worship it over God. So that's why it says, which is idolatry. I think it's including all that, which is including all those things, because at the end, you're trading something for God. Paul tells us that this was our life before Jesus changed us, before Jesus transferred us. Verse 7, you once walked in these things. These were the things we once lived for. We pursued and worshipped these things over Jesus. And it's because of these things the wrath of God is coming. And yet, if you're in Christ, you have left that way of life that you once lived under God's wrath. You no longer face God's judgment because you are now transferred in Jesus. So there's no judgment facing you if you're in Christ. But for those who aren't in Christ, the wrath of God will come upon them. So the question is, if you're in Christ now, why would you be seeking the things that the wrath of God is for or on? Notice that Paul also writes this, and I want you to really hear this. Paul writes this as if these sins are still a struggle in our life. So Paul's not claiming that in Jesus we are transferred and we are now sinless on earth. Okay, it doesn't say that. In fact, in verse 4, verse 4, it says that we are waiting a future glory when we will appear with him in glory. So we know that that's not now. So Paul's very clear in this. He's not claiming that we're going to be sinless on earth. But sin still remains in us, but we are to put these things off or kill these things in us. And Paul starts with sexual temptation. The Greek word is porneia, which is where we get pornography from. But it's any kind of sexual immorality or behaviour that's outside God's good design for marriage. We live in a culture that tells you go and do what you want sexually. Live and enjoy the pleasures, the passions and lusts that you can grab. Just take it and grab it and do whatever you want. And so we have this sexual, greedy evil that we pursue rather than look. And it's what our culture sells us. It's what our earth, this looking down, looking around. Does it make sense? Like the things of earth. And so we need to hear Jesus here. We need to look up and see Jesus. We need to look up and hear what Jesus has to say about sexuality. In Genesis 1 and 2, God's good design for sexual relationship is between a man and a woman within marriage. So we don't worship sex. We don't worship these things. And it can be so easy for these things to rule our lives and substitute as God. And we see, even within marriage, our sex as an act of worship for ourselves. That our partners are like a sacrifice for this worship, and we can so easily misreplace sex as our God. As God's people who belong to Jesus, we must put to death any sexual immorality outside what Jesus declares as good. It's pretty simple stuff. Once again, what I said is that Paul's acknowledging these are a struggle within the Christian life. But it's a struggle we need to take seriously. Kill them, put them to death. We're to put to death impurity and passions that go against Jesus. It could be the lusts, it could be connected to sexual pleasure as well, material pleasure, wanting more in a wrongful way. Passions for the wrong thing, looking down on earth for fulfillment. See, it makes a sense. You're not looking up, you're looking around. And you're trying to get your fulfillment and life in these things that really don't bring it. Looking down on earth for fulfillment. Isn't this what we're faced with every day within our culture? And we sold the lie that in these things you will find true satisfaction. Pursue them, enjoy them. And then you won't be empty, but we always come up empty. Because what Jesus says, they're dead things. They've died. So rather than looking down, we look up. We start living. We start living for Christ. We start focusing on him, because that's who we are in him. So we may have once taken, before we were in Christ, a low view of sex, but now we take a high view of sex. Within God's good design. And we kill everything that spoils or distorts God's goodness in this area. And I know from experience that sexual passions and lusts, they seem to stick around, particularly for a guy. I'm not sure about a lady, but for a guy. But often we can go looking for them. And it's in that moment we've replaced our identity. We've gone looking once again on earth to find our true meaning, our identity, our satisfaction, rather than focusing on Christ, our Saviour, who is seated in heaven. And often we try and hide this. And Jesus knows. You might be able to fool me, but Jesus knows. Jesus knows where our minds are. And so we need to repent of these things. We need to put them off and put on Christ, as we'll look next week. Paul mentions evil desires and covetousness. Some versions say greed. Greed is another form of idolatry. Greed is living for more and more things to have. Living for what money can give us, seeking to live an earthly materialistic life that's just want more and more and more. Is that our culture today? Yeah, we're never satisfied, are we? There's nothing wrong. Jesus is not saying you can't be successful, profitable, work hard, buy good things, nice things. That's fine. But it's that desire. We are living in the here and now, not focused on who we are in Christ. We so much have a desire to have more things. You know, I was watching, sad to say, I was watching this movie, but I'm always encouraged to support Kath in these adventures. Confessions of a Shopaholic. It was a fairly old film, but she just kept on maxing out their credit card. And she got to the point that she even got into the fridge and she cracked this ice that she had frozen, this last minute thing. She just couldn't help herself. Everything made her feel good. And I just think about our culture, that we're so lured into feeling good about buying more stuff. The passions for pleasures, for the earthly thing, making a desire for more, the God we live for, more, more, more. And so our identity loses Christ and it becomes in what we possess and what we have and what we can show people. Romans 1 talks about exchanging the things God created and worshipping those created things. We see in verse 11 that Jesus is Lord of all, in all, and above all things. You know, so we lower ourselves when Jesus is Lord of all. You look around, isn't it? If it's not sex that sells, it's we're chasing greed. If it's not that, it's the lusts of what we want to do, or all of them above. All these passions, desires. It's all about self. It's all about you. All about what you want. But we have set our minds on Jesus. So we don't feed a self-centered life. We feed on Jesus because we're new people in Him. That's the first section. Verse 5, it talks about our attitude towards people. Now the second section in this short piece of God's Word, verses 8 to 9, actually talks about our sin towards people. Now, like I said, ultimately all sins are against God, but these are directed towards people, and these are the sins that come out of our mouth. These are the sins that are like what we say to other people, verses 8 to 10. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. So like I said, all sin is at God, but these sins are directed towards others. These are what comes out of our mouths. The first word is anger, and it's actually the same word used for God's wrath, which is a bit funny because the second word for wrath in the actual passage is actually a different word than what they use for the one for God. But the word is the first word, anger, is the wrath. And it's the same one that God uses, that anger for those who are disobedient. But we are to put that wrath off. So when people have done something wrong to us, we have a wrath, we want to revenge them. But because now in Jesus, His anger, God's anger and wrath that we deserve has been dealt with, so we need to put off that same anger that we would have towards others. Towards others. The other second, the word wrath there in verse 8 is that sort of a broiling up annoyance anger. And so there's another thing we need to put off. We get brought up with people. We get boiling inside of us and we just want to fire it out. Well, don't we have a God in heaven who could easily be like that to us? But isn't that dealt with? It's dealt with Jesus. We don't have to face it. So if we're new in Jesus, we're a new creation. Out of our anger comes obscene talk. This is better understood as abusive talk. That's what the Greek has, abusive talk. Some translations actually put that. Our anger turns into abusive talk. to those around us. Verbal abuse that demeans those around us. Malice, slander, words spoken to hurt others, nasty speech that damages people. These are all the things that Jesus says to put away. We are new people. Our old self no longer rules. We're in Jesus. And so slander is the opposite to praise. It's when our speech sets out to insult and damage a person's reputation. And we do that, don't we? We often do that in a conversation. And it's connected to our anger. It's connected to our abusive talk. And so we lash out at people. But isn't that what life without Christ is meant to be like? So we're meant to put these things off. The death and resurrection of Jesus has the power to change the way we relate to other people. And particularly this is more in the community of God, but jeepers, it's got to be outside the community of God. You can't be treating someone inside the church with a not anger and malice and slander and then say someone outside the church. It wouldn't make any sense. But these things we are to put aside, put away. The very anger and wrath that we have escaped because of Jesus' death and resurrection is and has been dealt with Jesus, we are to put that away because we have a God who no longer holds it against us, so we don't hold it against others. We're to put off lying to each other. You know, think about our previous life before Christ. Who was ruling our life? We were in darkness, we had Satan ruling our lives. Who is the father of lies? And so our life outside of Jesus lived in darkness without the truth, but now in Christ we are new people who live in the truth, who no longer lie, no longer speak falsely to one another, no longer deceive each other. That's Satan's work. That's a focus on him, not on who we are in Jesus. We are looking up, remember, not looking around. So our life speaks the truth in love. Our new life is now in Jesus, so we put on him and we imitate him because that's who we are. Our lives are to build up others rather than tear them down. Who we are in Jesus is to radically kill and put away those things, put away sin. And so often we have the excuse, don't we? Oh, well, it's okay. Because when Jesus comes, I'll be eventually transformed and I'll be a new me. So now, why the effort? No. Put to death these things. Kill them. You're now alive in him. You're not waiting for the plane. You're actually on the plane. Jesus is the pilot. Don't say, oh, well, we all sin. That might be true. But we're a complete new person in Jesus. We're not thinking the right way if we think that. It's a bit like saying, well, if we're in Jesus, we have the ticket, all good. But just look at your life and ask yourself, are you really in him? Because we can't have a complacency to sin in that. So I really set my mind on Jesus. Third quick point is that Jesus is Lord of all and in all, verse 11. He is the one who's behind all things. He sustains all things. Chapter 1 talks about that. And through all this, he gathers people to himself. And so we see this very clear picture of a new creation, a new church that has no distinctions. It's not about earthly class or race. It's about Jesus being one, all in all in Jesus. All people, a new community. All the divisions are gone. But you know what? That might be good on paper, but what we need to do is start acting like a new community. United around Jesus, looking up. Often we so often just look around, don't we? We get annoyed and angered at other people rather than looking up and seeing the very, very Jesus who died not for just your sins but their sins. And so there is this equality in the gospel in God's new community. All people are one together. Even within a brokenness, all united around Jesus. So what's Jesus saying to us today? What's Jesus challenging us with today? Well, I think if we're honest, we still have many things we need to put off and kill in our lives that are sin. many things we need to repent of and change. Maybe wrongful sexual behaviour. Jesus knows the struggle. In love, he's writing these words through the Apostle Paul. But Jesus says, kill the thoughts by looking up at him. You know, the other day I was tempted in this and I just focused on Jesus and it helped overcome that temptation. Instantly you just focus on him. It takes, well, for me it did anyway. It takes the focus off the temptation. Rather than being lured into this passions of that are sinful and dead, that bring no life, we need to focus on Jesus. You know, we can be single, we can be married, we can have wrong sexual attitudes in all areas of life. And we make sex our idol rather than God. And so rather than sex being enjoyable, it becomes death to us. Because we set our minds on things that are already dead, rather than Jesus. How do we overcome this? Just keep seeking Jesus. Set our minds on things above, not on things on earth. Set your minds not on porn or sex outside God's good design, but seek your mind on Jesus and his goodness. It's all good to seek in marriage good sexuality and be satisfied with that. But if that's your goal, if that's your God, you'll always be disappointed and wanting more. Jesus is the one you need to focus on. Don't feed the earthly passions with porn and lust, but appreciate and delight in your spouse. And above all, delight in your Saviour King, Jesus. Don't live for greed, the idolatry of wanting more things, it's earthly. You have everything you already need in Jesus. Once again, we fail to look up. We're looking around. We look around at other people. We get discouraged. We need to look up and know that what we have now is hidden in Christ, but eternally it will be revealed in glory. We just need to be patient and wait and trust Jesus. Put off anger, wrath, abusive talk. Like I said, this word for the wrath one is a boiling up in us of anger. We need to take this seriously. Why do we put off anger? Once again, we look up and see Jesus, who through his death took the anger of God for us. So that with us in Jesus, God is no longer angry or wrathful at us. And his anger is righteous, without sin. We have wronged God, and yet he put his anger aside. Once again, it's looking up, seeing our Saviour. How could we lower our lives with malice and slander and abusive talk? How can we say that we see Jesus and turn around and abuse our brothers and sisters and people around us? I wonder what people around you see in your life. I don't see all your lives. I just see you on Sunday mornings and casually. I wonder what they see. Do they see the marks of Christ or the marks of the dead person? Has Jesus really made a change? Because you can know a lot of stuff. That's really cool. But is the knowledge of Jesus become transformation? Has he transformed you in such a way that you're putting off these things? And once again, I'm not claiming, and the enemy is Paul, that you're going to have a perfect sinless life right now. He's writing these things because we don't, and we need to put them off. But I wonder where your focus is. I wonder where your focus is. And don't give Jesus your excuses. Trying to justify yourself. Repent and ask him to help you. Remember, he is the true vine. Without him, you cannot do nothing. So abide in him. Put to death these things, anger, wrath, malice. You know, Swan Hill is in the top three of domestic abuse in Victoria. Isn't that sad? Top three. But how even sadder it would be if those in Christ were part of the statistics. If Jesus died and transferred you into his kingdom to then add to culture's sins. No, we've got to be someone different. We're putting off these things. Putting to death these things that damage and hurt those around us. Remember from last week. You right there? Not going to faint? It's all right. It's nearly finished, okay? So. Remember from last week, we're on the plane. We're on the plane with Jesus. But now that we're on the plane, we are removing the things that aren't in Jesus. So imagine a bit like you don't have a door on a jelly plane because you just suck everything out. But maybe it could. You could just, and it sucks it out. You're taking off the old things and you're putting on new things. So we're going to look at new things next week. But we're on the plane with Jesus. So we got on there because he's transferred us through his death on the cross and through his resurrection. But now we're taking off things. So the good news is, yes, we're saved, but we're also being renewed. We are being renewed by Jesus. And being renewed is to continue to seek Jesus depending on his power at work in us. You know, and it's a real fight. It's a real war. And I wondered if our country was under attack, would we get and go grab guns and defend it? And yet often our heart is under attack. And yet we're complacent. It's a fight, it's a war. We are to put into action continual repentance and refuse to allow sins reign. As you see Jesus, as you look at him, you're continually being renewed. As you study him, as you read his word, as you pray to him. I visualize it a bit like a portrait. So, you know, when you're trying to paint a picture of someone, you're trying to see them and then draw your picture. And as we look at Christ, then we can create the portrait in our life and become like him. It's not perfect now, but one day it will be. It's hidden, but one day it'll be revealed completely in his glory. But today I want you to hear Jesus speak. And hear Jesus speak to you and say there's things in your life that you need to put to death, things in your life you need to put off because they don't belong in your new life in Christ. And these might be things you've been struggling with for years. There might be things you've struggled with recently. And I don't want you to think this is a really good sermon for the person next to me. I want you to examine your own hearts. Examine your own hearts. I heard a really funny story. I didn't have this in there, but it was a story about a guy who, he said, I think my wife is deaf and I'm trying to prove to her that she's deaf. And he went to the doctor and the doctor said, well, what you could do is say to her at night, what's for tea, and then move a bit closer and then say what's for tea until she actually responds and then you can tell her, well, actually I've been doing this from the length of the room and now it's only got to here and you're clearly deaf. So he did that at night and he said, what's for tea? No response. So he moved a bit closer and said, what's for tea? And then he moved a little bit closer again. What's for tea? And he moved a bit closer again and said, what's for tea? And his wife said, I've been telling you for the fourth time, it's a roast. Clearly he had the problem. And sometimes in life we're thinking everyone else has got the problem. But it's actually us. It's us that's got the problem. So we need to come before our Lord and confess that we are the ones that need to put off things. Your life is focused on a person, not a system, but it's focused on Jesus. So start looking up at him. Keep knowing him more. Choose to fight and put off these things. Don't surrender to sin because it will wither and kill you, but rather focus on Jesus who will grow and cause you to flourish and see him who reigns in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you're a gracious God, a compassionate God. And we know without you we cannot do anything. Lord, thank you for revealing to our hearts, Lord, that so often we look around and we just fill our lives with things that are dead. And they may look attractive and look good, but they just wither us and kill us, Lord. Lord, help us to focus on you. Help us to see you seated in your throne. Help us to see our future glory hidden in you. Help us to see that you died for our sins on the cross, that you loved us, that the very things that we would do are the things that you died for. That you're willing to sacrifice your life so that we could have life, and yet so often, Lord, we throw it away as if it doesn't matter. Lord, help us to put on your image, your likeness. Clothe ourselves with you, Lord. Put off the things that don't belong, Lord. We know it's a struggle, but thank you for giving us your Spirit that enables us to do this. Lord, thank you for speaking to us this morning so we can be convicted once again to do this, Lord. We don't want to be complacent, but we want to be people who show just a glimpse of your glory through our lives on earth while that future glory is hidden in you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the work that you do and the work that you never give up on us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.